Do you know that from your position, you can change a situation? Do you also know that you are the master over the created world and that you are meant to rule over everything God has made? Listen carefully to Pastor Segun Obaje as he brings to you with simplicity and clarity the message of the new creation realities in Christ Jesus. Be blessed as you listen.
Amen. We've started looking at the God-man partnership. Hallelujah. The God-man partnership. That tells us that we are God's vital, effective partners. God has called us to Himself, not to operate apart from Him, but to operate in Him, and then God operating in us so that we can operate together as one lump inseparable, one organic lump inseparable. Praise the Lord. And this is the mystery that Jesus Christ has brought to us so that we can function as one with God. Turn your Bibles very quickly to the book of Colossians, chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1. Hallelujah. We'll start the reading from verse 26. Even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Now is made manifest to his saints. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Now, there are many mysteries in the Word of God. Praise God. But the Bible talks about this very mystery. It calls it the riches of the glory of this mystery. Now, the riches of the glory of this mystery, that might sound a little bit colored, but you can read it this way. To whom God will make known what is the riches of the glorious mystery among, or this glorious mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let someone say, Christ in me. The hope of glory. Say it again. Say, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Now, there was a mystery that the Apostle Paul unveiled by the Holy Ghost in Ephesians chapter number 3. The mystery of the coming together of the Jews and the Gentiles. That is the mystery of the church. In Ephesians chapter number 3. Hallelujah. And then he said, Jesus Christ has been made our peace. He is our peace. He has made the two one. Hallelujah. And he removed the wall of partition. Glory to God. And that wall of partition was the law. He removed it so that both the Jews and the Gentiles can function together in one body called the church. Hallelujah. And then he went on to say, for this cause, in other words, for this reason, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So he mentioned the whole family. You see, bringing the Jewish family and the Gentile family together is a mystery. Hallelujah. It's a mystery. Glory to God. Praise the Lord forevermore. It's a mystery. And one of their feasts they celebrated in Israel, called the Feast of the Tabernacles, was a revelation of how that God brought together the Jews and the Gentiles. The Feast of the Tabernacles was a feast they celebrated to commemorate how that God dwelt in their midst and tabernacled in their midst. And then on that last day of the feast, the high priest will come out and take water and pour it on the ground, showing that God is their satisfaction. And God is going to take them through all the seasons of drought without any form of dissatisfaction or thirst. Hallelujah. And then in John chapter number 7, the Bible says, on that last day of the feast, verse 37, the feast of the tabernacles, glory to God, Jesus Christ stood and cried with a loud voice, "Does any man thirst? Let him come unto me and drink. For he that believes in me," in other words, believes in me as the Christ, if you read in context, John 7, "he whosoever believes in me," or "he that believes in me as the Christ," he says, "out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters." Praise the Lord. "But this speak he of the Holy Ghost," in other words, was talking about the Spirit of God, "which those who believe in him should receive. For that time the Spirit of God had not been given, because Jesus Christ had not been glorified." Hallelujah. But bless God, he's glorified now. Amen. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Now it happened on the day of Pentecost. Praise God. It's the celebration of the Feast of Weeks and the Feast of Tabernacles. Praise the Lord. We saw how that the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost. It means 50. All right? The Feast of Weeks is 7 times 7. That's 49. Glory to God. So the Passover, the first day, and then add 49 to it, making 50. When Pentecost was fully come, they were all together in one accord. Amen. And there was a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. What did that outpouring do? That outpouring united both the Jews and the Greek. Hallelujah. Both the Jews and the Gentiles. Brought them together in one body called the church, so that all of us are now called saints. Praise the Lord. It's a mystery. Because on that last day of the feast, they would come with two loaves of bread. Hallelujah. And they would wave the two loaves of bread before the Lord. Amen. One standing for the Jews, the other one for the Gentiles. Glory to God. And as they waved it before the Lord, they were waving it before the Lord in praise. It's called a wave offering. Hallelujah. In a wave offering of praise and worship, the Holy Spirit came and descended upon them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Bible says in Acts 1 and Acts 2 and verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all together in one accord. And then something happened. It says, suddenly there was a sound like that of a rushing mighty wind, filled the whole house where they were, and there appeared upon them cloven tongues like as of fire, and sat upon each and every one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Glory to God. By the release of the Spirit, both the Gentiles and the Jews have become one in the church. Amen. God relates with one entity right now when it comes to humanity. God relates with the church. Hallelujah. The Bible says, of whom? Ephesians 3 and verse 14. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Well, that's not the mystery we're looking at today. Amen. We could go on and on and on. And again, the Bible talks about the mystery of godliness. That is the incarnation of God. Praise God. John chapter number 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was with God in the beginning. All things were made by him. And he went on and on in verse 14. He says, and the Word became flesh. Now that was a mystery. Praise God. That God will become man. It's a mystery. What is a mystery? It's from the root word mysterion. It means to say things without opening your mouth. And then you say, that's a mystery. You say, yeah, yeah. That's a mystery. All right? To mutter things without opening your mouth. Is that not a mystery? In other words, I can look at you and do like this, and then you begin to laugh and say, yeah, I understand. I'm going to take it. That's a mystery. That means we speak in coded language, exoteric language. That means it can only be understood by some selected few. If you are not brought into the discourse or discussion, you cannot get it. It's called a mystery. There's a door open to you called the door of revelation. Hallelujah. The door of revelation opens you into the arena of mysteries. Glory to God. Thank God the Spirit of God has brought us into these mysteries. Hallelujah. These mysteries are mysteries that God hid before the foundation of the world. And now He's unveiling these mysteries to us by his Spirit. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly. Now he's speaking expressly. In this dispensation of the church, we're in the dispensation of the church. Amen. We're not in the dispensation of the Jews. We're not in the dispensation of the Gentiles. Are you listening to me? We are in the dispensation of the church. Once upon a time, there was a dispensation of the Jews. God dealt with them as the only body on earth that he could relate to. And then they disobeyed God, and God scattered them abroad, and then began to deal with the heathen kings. Someone like Cyrus, amen. He dealt with Pharaoh. He dealt with people like that, different people, the Gentiles, and then brought his counsel through them to be fulfilled. Hallelujah. But in this dispensation, we're talking about Jesus Christ forming one body that God can relate to, that God can relate with, that God can communicate with. Hallelujah. It's called the church. I respect the Jews because to them belong the oracles of God. Hallelujah. Praise God, I respect them. But you see, I don't believe that a Jew in Israel has more right than a Christian in Christ. Are you listening to me? There are people on the TV, they say, well, if you don't do this to the Jews, you know, something will happen to the Gentiles. In fact, I'm not a Gentile. The Bible does not relate to me as a Gentile any longer. Amen. I'm the church. They are not the Jews any longer. Praise God. As far as God is concerned, he's not looking at them as Jews. Amen. He's relating with one body right now. And that's why they have to be saved. In Romans chapter number 10, Paul prayed. He says, my longing, my heart desire is that Israel may be saved. Right? You see, he wanted their salvation. If they were fine and they were okay and had everything they needed, he wouldn't have prayed for their salvation. Glory to God. It tells us that God relates with everybody today on one ground, on one basis, the church. And that is why everyone must be born again. For you to have the full standing with God and have the full benefit of divine human relationship, you have to be born again. Jesus says you must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see, he cannot perceive the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Now, if you're born again here, wave your hands and say hallelujah. Shout it loud with your voice. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. I said glory to God. So he says, for this cause I bow my knees, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now, there's this mystery that the Apostle Paul unveiled alongside the other mysteries that God gave him to give to the body of Christ. This mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let someone say, Christ in me, the hope of glory. One more time, say, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Good. Now, quickly, turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Timothy chapter number 3. And then let's look at this mystery here. I believe it's related. 1 Timothy chapter number 3, we'll start the reading here from verse 15. It says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. You see that? Let someone say the house of God. God has only one house now. He's no longer in Israel. Amen? He's in the church. That's his house. That's what the word of God says. Praise God. He says that you may know how to behave thyself in the house of God. I like the way another translation puts it. In the dwelling of God. I like another translation says in the abode of God. Amen. I like another one. It says, where God can be found. In other words, you can't miss God there. You can't miss God. Amen. When you come into the church, you can never miss God. This is God's permanent address. This is where God permanently resides. This is God's permanent residence. Hallelujah. God resides here, the church of the living God. He resides in you. He resides in me. Can someone say amen to that? Amen. Praise the Lord forevermore. Behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. He says that church of the living God is what? The pillar. Let someone say pillar. And ground of the truth. You see that? The pillar and ground of the truth. In other words, we uphold the truth. Amen? The ground of the truth. We uphold it. The pillar of the truth. The ground of the truth. Praise the Lord. Amen? We are the light of this world. You believe that? Say with your mouth, say, I am the light of this world. The Lord said to me once upon a time, he says, son, I have one challenge with my children. I said, Lord, what is it? He said, they don't affirm who they are. They don't affirm what they have. They try to become instead of being. Amen. Did you get that? I believe that's not too high for you. Praise God. People in church try to become instead of being. People want to become rich. People want to become righteous. People want to become holy. People want to become blessed. You see what I'm saying here? They are looking for the becoming instead of the being. Hallelujah. And then the Lord says something to me. He said, naturally, what are you called? Naturally. I didn't get that. I said, Lord, can you come again? He said, naturally, what are you called? Say, human being. Oh, okay, human being. He says, you are a being, not a becoming. Hallelujah. You know you are a being. And all through your walk with God, you keep discovering who you are. God is not becoming. God is a being. He's a spirit being. You are a spirit being as much as God is a spirit being. There is something in your being that defines you in the light of who God is because you came out of him. 1 John 4 and verse 4 says, little children, you are of God. You are of God. Do you understand that? You are of God. Glory to God. You are of God. In other words, you were taken out of God. If God is a being, you can't be anything less. Glory to God. You are a being. And then I began to look at it. He said, do you know there are a lot of my children that are living as human doings, not human beings? You know, they are doings. In other words, they want to take the identity from what they do instead of knowing who they are and let that which they do stem out of the identity. All right? Your acts or actions or doings should be branches of the vine that you are, should be fruits of the tree that you are. The Bible calls us the trees of righteousness. Hallelujah. The planting of the Lord. We are a tree. Tree, you see, tree. When it comes to Christ, that is when he calls us branches. John 15. All right? But when it comes to standing in him as he's created us to function as him, we are trees. We are plantings. Glory to God. Are you listening to me? So you see, the church of the living God is the house of God. Now, you have to accept that. Don't try to become God's house. You know, someone was praying, Lord, make me your house. Make me your dwelling place. And you see, God said, did you hear that? You see, he's trying to become. Yeah, we are under construction. Yeah, God is building us a holy temple where we can offer spiritual sacrifices unto him. The church is still under construction. The church is not fully developed, fully built yet. You see, that does not remove, but that doesn't remove the fact that we are God's house. Are you listening to me? We are not God's houses. We are God's house. God does not have many houses. He doesn't want to have one in Lagos and one in Ife. Are you listening to me? He's got one house. And you see, one house, that's the church. And anyone who would want God indwell him must come into the church, must be born again. Because we are the ground, we are the pillar and the ground of truth. Let someone say the ground and the pillar. Say the pillar and the ground of truth. You see that? We are the pillar and the ground of the truth. We are the light of this world. We are not becoming the light of this world. Amen. When you listen to people, they tell you what you should be. All right? When you study God's word, God's word tells you who you are. And that's why when you get into the epistles and begin to study God's word introduces you to you. All right? Jackie Chan said once upon a time, who am I? All right? In the word, you discover who you are. He says you're of God. Someone says, really? Oh, Lord, make me of you. No, beloved, you're of God. Receive that. Say it with your mouth. Say, I am of God. Say it again. Say, I am of God. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Peter said, silver and gold we don't have, have I none, but such as I have, I give unto. Such as I have. Do you know what you have? Such as I have, I give unto you in the name. He said, look, I've got that name. I've got that name, such as I have. You know, not such as I will soon get. And when I get it, you'll see what I will do. And you'll see what will become of me. No, such as I have, I give unto you. I have it now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And immediately, he took him by the hand, lifted him up. Strength came to his ankle bones, and he began to rejoice, leap, and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You see that? Such as I have. Amen. I said amen. Paul said he's been called as an apostle to the Gentiles, and he does not take that lightly. He says, I magnify my office. That's not pride. You see, in the church, we have to know the difference between identity affirmation and pride. Now, for you to stand up, beloved, and say, I'm a lady, you say, oh, you're too proud. Is that pride? You're affirming, you're telling, I'm a lady, right? Right? That's who you are. We are the house of God. Believe that with all of your heart. And when I began to believe that, he says that the communication of your faith might become effectual. How? Through the acknowledging of all the good things that are in you in Christ Jesus. It makes the communication of your faith effective, effectual. You have to acknowledge, accept it. You know, a brother said to me, he said, the Lord is killing me by the day, and when I'm fully dead, you see that I'll be dead to everything around me. You know, because someone told him, you are not dead yet. When you are dead, that's when God can use you. That God does not use living men. He uses dead men. You see, there are some revelations that are just poetic. You know, it sounds like, tell me more about that. Tell me more. No. You see, those things are things that show the flesh. Are you listening to me? He said, Paul said, I die daily. All right, reading contents, 1 Corinthians 15. What was he saying there? He was talking about the fear of death. That every day he was as though dead, so to speak, because he didn't know where the attack would come from. Even amongst the brethren, so to speak, false brethren. Are you listening to me? But read Galatians 2 and verse 20. He says, I am crucified. I like the way another translation puts it, closer to the Greek original translation than what was rendered in KJV. It says, I have been. Now, why did I believe that, or why do I believe that? I believe that because it shows the truth of the gospel. If you were crucified with Christ, amen, the question is, when was Christ crucified? Huh? You say, no, Christ is being crucified. No. You see, Christ was crucified actually long time ago. And you were crucified with him. That means you were crucified. Not that you are being crucified. So you can say, I have been crucified with Christ because my crucifixion was not personal. All right? My crucifixion was Christ's. You understand that? It was Christ's. When Jesus, the anointed one, was crucified, I was crucified with him. Glory to God. You see that? He says, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. That's a little bit, you know, colored. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. There was an I that was crucified with Christ. It's called the old I. Glory to God. It's the old man. Died with Christ. Was crucified with him. Nevertheless, I live. The new I lives. If any man be in Christ, is a new creature. The new I lives. Hallelujah. So you see, the Bible says to reckon yourself dead. In other words, count it so. That's what you see. Don't say you want to become it. Mm-mm. You can't become anything that grace has made you. You are what grace has made you. Are you listening to me? Because in that becoming, there's an element of effort. So he says, count it so. What do you have to do? Count it so that indeed you are dead. In other words, you died. The old you died. That man that loved to sin died. Count it so. So when thoughts come and say, Father, thank you because I'm a dead man. And this man that lives now is a man of faith and of love, is a man of righteousness and of grace. Count it so. Tell your neighbor, say, count it so. Say it again. Say, count it so. You see, this must be seen the way God sees it. The power of God will be let loose in your life when you begin to see things the way God sees them. There is a way God sees things. Are you listening to me? God sees things differently. And God has called us into that fellowship. He says our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son. That's our fellowship. We don't have fellowship with the common people and common places of this world. Our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son. We are meant to see things the way God sees things. And thank God He's given us His Word, right? So we can see things the way He sees things. For with these, the fountain of light, the fountain of life, rather, in thy light shall we see light. For with these, the fountain of life, in thy light shall we see light. What does that mean? God is our fountain of life, and He's given us His light, and His light is His word. Amen? We can see things the way God sees things. Now, God says to a man who does not have a dime in his account, He says to him, he's rich. And the man says, Lord, make me rich. Do you see that? God says, no, you are rich. Gideon, though you are trying to run away from the Midianites, you think that, these people are stronger than yourself and Israel. And you are trying to ask God again, oh God, when are we going to see the signs of our fathers? And then God sent His angel to say, thou mighty man of valor. Are you listening to me? You are mighty. He says, no, not I am not. He says, you are. He wanted to become mighty. But God said to him, you are mighty. some people got it. I was amazed. And I began to pray in tongues. Because when I hear such things, it grieves my spirit. All right? Praise the Lord. When you see people today who don't have clothes on them, but leaves. All right? They don't have shoes on, and then they're walking around the street. All right? You don't want to heal them, do you? You don't want to glorify them, do you? You don't want to praise them, do you? You don't want to. You want to have pity on them. Praise God. Now, having had God's word, for the church to be living as though in the Stone Age. Because, you see, what's the difference between the Stone Age and this modern age? Amen. What's the difference? New men are living today with four eyes and six ears, three mouths and 16 legs. New species of men are living today. Now, the difference is light. Let someone say light. We know more. We know better. We think different or differently. That's the difference between those men that lived then and the men that are living now. And that's what light can make you. Without light, there's no advancement. All right? Can you imagine believers gathering themselves together and they are praying, Lord, make us Christians. Amen. Praise God. Someone says, well, they want to be Christ-like. Is Christ in you? No, talk to me. Is Christ in you? See him in you. Practice his presence. Receive his word. Act him out. Christ is in you. Amen. I said amen. There are things in your life that will never, never, never happen until you begin to get the light of God's word concerning them. In Acts of the Apostles chapter number 1, something happened there. The Bible says Peter stood up and he said, this scripture, he found it. He found that scripture. This scripture must needs be fulfilled. In other words, it is compulsory that this scripture be fulfilled, or else we are going to tarry here forever. Amen. What was that scripture? There was need for another person to take the place of Judas. And without someone standing up to take the place of Judas, they would tarry forever. And then the Holy Ghost would not descend. Because the Spirit of God was waiting for somebody else to take the place of Judas. He says his bishopric, let another take, right? So it was time for somebody else to take his bishopric. And somebody else had to take his bishopric for the fulfillment of scriptures. John 2, 26 down to 28 wouldn't be fulfilled without that scripture being fulfilled. He says, must needs be fulfilled. Hello? So by understanding, he stood up. And he said, we have to take a step here. Or else we'll wait forever. So the tarrying will be as long as the level of your light. Are you listening to me? And the very moment they were done with that, the day of Pentecost was fully come. Notice it didn't come. It was fully come. There was a full coming of that day because scripture was fulfilled. Listen, let me tell you something. You know, I began to get results on another level in my life when I began to relate with God's word the way God says it. Amen. Somehow we tend to spiritualize God's word And I don't know how much you can spiritualize spirit. How much spiritual can a spirit be? Huh? John 6:63, words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The word of God cannot become more spiritual, so to speak. But you see, when people want to add another concept apart from the concept of God's word, that is when they take it out of context and do something else. He says, you err because you know not the scriptures, nor the power of God. That's why people err. That's why people make mistakes. That's why people go astray. Praise the Lord. When I began to take God's word in, I began to receive God's word the way it is. I began to thank God for his word the way it is. I began to see the word the way God sees it. I began to see myself the way God's word sees me. I just saw that things changed all of a sudden. Amen. I said amen. Praise God. Let someone say light. Say it again. Say light. Now receive God's word the way it is. If God says you are his house, thank him for it. That is the greatest way you can acknowledge, or you could. In fact, it's the greatest way you could acknowledge receipt of anything God has given you. Thanksgiving. Amen. Thanksgiving. If God says I'm healed, I want to see myself that way. All right? I want to thank him because I'm healed. I want to see myself that way. You see, when you begin to see yourself the way God sees you, there is no way the enemy can color your mind, because he knows that you have received the light of God's word. The entrance of his word gives light, and it gives understanding to the simple. Amen. Say in the name of Jesus, I have understanding where it matters. My mind is illuminated with the light of Zoe in the name of Jesus. I walk in the light of life. Therefore, I do not stumble in the name of Jesus. The Spirit of God in me illuminates me. He teaches me the way to go in the name of Jesus. I am not too slow as the mule. I'm not too fast as the horse, but I'm right on time in the name of Jesus. Amen. You believe that? I said, you believe that? Glory to God. Amen. All right, that was prelude to what we're considering. Amen. If God has called you a pastor, that's who you are. Say, Father, I thank you for the power to pastor. It's simple. Not, Lord, make me a pastor. You know, I was in one circle before. We prayed those prayers. Or like, all right, as though, you know, we become what God had already made us. T.L. Osborne said something. He said, there are three things God will never do for you, no matter how much you cry to him to do for you. Number one, he will never do for you what he has already done for you. God does not waste his time. He's not in the business of duplication of effort. You can't crucify Christ again, no matter how much you try. Fast all through, Christ will not be crucified again. He was crucified once. His one sacrifice, offered once and for all. Are you listening to me? Uh-huh. Number two, when you ask God and say, God, come and do for me what you have said to do by myself. If God says to lay hands on the sick and they will recover, all right, and then you call God to come and lay hands on them, he will never do that. Hello? He will never do it. Amen? He will never do it. Number three, crying to God and say, God, make me what you've already made me. Let me become what you have made me. God is not going to be involved in that. Whatever God has made you, receive that with thanksgiving and thank him for it. Can someone say amen to that? I say, can someone say amen to that? Amen. Praise God. I am the body of Christ. Can someone say that? Jesus was very, very bold when it was an issue with his identity. When he declared his identity, he says, I am the light of the world. That was staggering. Amen. He looked at him and says, I am the light of this world. He says, as long as I'm here, I am the light of this world. And whosoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You see that? I am the light of this world. He made another staggering statement. He says, I and my Father are one. They were angry. They wanted to stone him. Before Abraham was, I am. I am the resurrection and the life. How many I ams do we have in the church today? But we have a lot of I will soon become. That's the challenge. I will become. I will become. How many I ams do we have in the church? I am God's battle axe. You know, people don't say such things any longer. Amen. I am God's battle axe. I am the body of Christ. That's what the word of God says. I am the light of this world. So yeah, you better be humble now. But that's what the word of God says. Jesus said, if he called them gods, if he called them gods, unto whom the word of the Lord came. You see, whatever it is that you are doing, having received God's word, you will see that God's word calls you somebody. God's word gives you something. If he called them gods unto whom the word of the Lord came, by the coming of the word of the Lord, they were called gods. And the scripture cannot be broken. Why are you saying that I have blasphemed? You call the one that God has sanctified a blasphemer? Have I done any wrong? Because I've said I'm the Son of God, you want to kill me? I don't care how you feel. I and my Father are one. Are you getting something here? You see, what I'm sharing with you is doxa. I'm telling you, it might look very simple. Maybe because I'm not screaming and, you know, tossing myself to and fro. But I'm sharing something very significant with you. Your identity first before your action. Don't try to do things for God not knowing who you are. Amen? You will err. Do know who you are. I was speaking with a brother. He said, I've done something so terrible. I don't think God can forgive me. I said, really? I said, look, come. That you feel that you have done something terrible means you have not committed the sin unto death. What's the sin unto death? A willful, deliberate, conscious rejection of Jesus Christ, the one to whom the Spirit of God witnesses. You do it deliberately, in knowledge, not in ignorance. There are some things you do deliberately in ignorance. All right? There are some sincerity that are sincere indeed, but are sincerely wrong. Are you listening to me? Praise God. Now, get this. Someone says, well, you're not telling us how to make more money. Listen, if you make more money without knowing who you are, all right, the prosperity of the fools will destroy them. You have to understand your identity in Christ, and that's how to have abiding wealth. Are you listening to me? Amen. I'm not coming to Lagos. We didn't come to Lagos to join, you know, this craze for money and craze for what we can get from church. and not being church. You know, people just speak of what we can get from church. What are they giving me? What are they giving me? All right? We have to be church, the church that we are. We've not come to take from church. We've come to be the church that we are. Are you listening to me? And let's see how long the rat race we will take, will endure. Praise God. And don't be involved in rat race, because rats are involved in rat race. All right? I'm not a rat. Say with your mouth, say, I'm not a rat. I'm a king. Don't be involved in a rat race. Praise God. Live above being a rat. Live big for Jesus. Can someone say amen to that? That's what I see. Live big for Jesus. Amen. Reflect him the way he is. Tell the world, this is Jesus. This is where Jesus is. And let them see him through you. That's what we're talking about here. God-man partnership. That's what we're talking about. Identity. 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 Identity first. Be soaked in your identity. These are facts you have to meditate on again and again and again. Be soaked in your identity. Be overwhelmed by your identity. Let your identity fill your awareness. Amen. You have not come to join them in running after things. You are no longer a Gentile. Oh. You have to see yourself that way. You are not running after things. Are you listening to me? No. 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 These things the Gentiles seek after. You are the church, not the Gentiles. Someone says we are the Gentiles. No, we are not. We are the church of the living God. These things the Gentiles seek after. But he says, you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. God's way of reasoning. God's way of doing things. Kingdom authority. We are a kingdom of priests. That's who we are. Amen. I say, Father, thank you because I'm a kingdom of priests. You have made me a king and a priest unto you. And Lord, as a priest, listen, look up. If you are a priest, the thing you must treasure the most as a priest is the knowledge of God's word. Read under the old covenant, you can't say someone is a priest who does not understand the law. Because you see, when people go astray, priests will instruct them and bring them back and say, Mba, Mba, MBA. Are you listening to me? Mba. No! Rara Kamari Agbedo. No! Priests will teach the word and say, this is how it should be. You are a priest. And so we bring matters to God and say, Lord, no, it is not, it ought not to be like this. This is the way you have said it. No, we enforce your word. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we bring up your word to you. As priests, we offer sacrifices unto our God. Spiritual sacrifices and offerings we give unto our God. We come to stand on the behalf of others and say, though they don't understand who they are, though they don't have a right standing before you because they are not saved, but we've got a right standing before you. And on behalf of these precious ones, we have come. Glory to God. That's who we are. I've seen a lot of Christians, what they are looking for in church is commerce. I say, Lord, now having gotten that, what else? What next? Treasure the knowledge of God's word above things. By the magnetism of understanding, things will be attracted to you. Did you hear that? By the magnetism of understanding of God's word, things will come to you. Amen. Glory to God. All right, let's tidy this up. Amen. Are you still there in 1 Timothy? Are you there? 1 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse 16. And without controversy, glory to God, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Amen. God was manifest where? In the flesh. Look up, please. There was a day I was meditating on John chapter number 1, and I meditated so much that I was lost in it. I was carried away by that word. And then I began to hear the voice of the Lord say to me, how reversible is John chapter 1 and verse 14? The reversibility of John 1:14. The reversibility of John 1:14. The reversibility of... I just said, wow, wow, wow. And then I opened my eyes again, and I looked at that word, and the word became flesh. The word was made flesh. The word flesh there is not talking about just flesh or meat. It's not goat or dog or animal. The word became a human being. Another translation puts it that way. I like that one. You know, there was a brother that read, you know, Ephesians 6 now, you know. Finally, my brethren, verse 10, be strong in the Lord and power. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Amen. So he felt we wrestle not against flesh and blood. All right, so if they want to perform any surgical operation on you to cut through your flesh and then blood will come out, don't wrestle. You know, until he picked up another translation and then he saw, we wrestle not against human beings. It's as simple as that. Amen. Is that direct enough? We wrestle not against human beings. Glory to God. Uncles and aunts and grandmothers and aged ones trying to get more days, enjoy life, are not our enemies. We wrestle not against human beings. Glory to God. So he says, and the word was made flesh, was made a human being. Now, not the word that was made a human being in verse 14 of John chapter number 1. In verse 1 of John chapter number 1, it says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So in other words, God, the word, right? God was made. When we say human being, now it feels like so might be looking at a species, you know, a species of God's creature. Come, Pastor Shola, so that you understand that. And God, the Word, was made, Pastor Shola. You see, do you understand that now? Someone say, what are you saying here? That was what happened. I said, that was what happened. If Jesus were to be born in our time, in our day, if Jesus were to be born in this dispensation, in Africa, Jesus would look like this man. Come. You see, Jesus would look like this. Dark. Have you seen a dark Jesus before? Someone says, is there a dark Jesus? Huh? Have you seen Jesus with tie on? Glory to God. You see, and the word, it's that simple. Someone says, really? Yeah, that was what happened. And the word, God, who was the word, was made human being, made Shegwabaji. Glory to God. Do you understand that? That tells us that God can dwell in man so much that man so much reveals God. Hope I'm not saying or speaking too much grammar. God can be so much in you, so much that you so much in the right amount of the so much by which is dwelling in you, reveal God. Did you get that? How many of us got that? And the Word became, and the Word was made human being. So that means the human being with two legs, Jesus, the anointed one, on two legs, walking through the streets of Jerusalem, was God in man. So much that God is made one with man. Hallelujah. That's what we're talking about here. And then it came again and again and again, the reversibility of John 1 and verse 14. Amen. Glory to God. God was made human, was made flesh, so that flesh can be made like God. Hallelujah. You understand that? What does that mean? It means God can so much dwell in you that you manifest God as though God were there, not dwelling in you, manifesting himself fully. In other words, your body, your sensuality, does not affect the manifestation of God in you. Amen. Galatians 4 and verse 19. My little children, of whom I travail in bed pangs once again until Christ be what? Formed in you. In other words, you can have so much of that Christ in you through your interaction with the Word that Christ reflects through you without knowing it. The Bible says aprons and handkerchiefs were taken from the body of Paul and laid on the sick. They were taken from his body. There was so much of that Christ made manifest through him. And it's a function of light, revelation, revelation. An excellent spirit can be made manifest through you as much as Jesus manifested that excellent spirit. Hallelujah. Revelation. Praise the Lord. Thank you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. You remember when John the Baptist sent his disciples to ask Jesus if he was the Christ or they should wait for another Christ? Amen. Because he felt, how could the Christ, you know, be looking at me in the prison and he wouldn't just come with his Christhood and Christness and just tear the doors apart and pull him out of the prison? Amen. So Jesus told them, he says, go tell him that the poor have the gospels preached to them. That is the radio dimension of it. He says, tell him the things that you've heard and seen. The poor have the gospel preached to them. They hear it. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The blind see and on like that. Amen. He says, these things show that I am the Christ. Praise the Lord. Amen. And then the woman at the well in John chapter number 4. Remember that woman? At the well, the Samaritan woman. Look at what she said. She mentioned something of note. I was studying that part and I saw that she made a comment. He said, indeed, you are the Christ. He says, our fathers told us that when Christ comes, he would tell us all things. And then she went out there crying loud, out loud to everyone there saying, come, I have found the Messiah, which is the Christ. Amen. The one who has told me everything I ever did. Revelation, omniscience, omniscience of God is a revelation of the Christhood. That means by the dwelling of God in us, as we renew our mind to it, we can know things supernaturally. It's a manifestation of the anointing and the anointed one. Hallelujah. Supernatural acts. in your office, supernatural acts, solving problems supernaturally. I remember one of my clients, you know, that morning, I didn't know that I would meet him, but God was preparing me for it. I woke up early in the morning as I was meditating on Genesis chapter 1, and as I was meditating, God gave me a procurement method that was not conventional. It was not in any literature. From Genesis, how God parted waters from waters. And I saw that procurement method there. Glory to God. And then, as I went out that morning, I met with one of my clients and we were chatting, and he said, I want to do this thing, but I want it done quick, but I'm looking for a way to go about it. The Spirit of God spoke up within me the way I taught you that this morning. He says, that's the way. And I went about it that way. I told him, we can do it. We can go about it this way, that way, that way. And I explained it to him. He said, wow, that's possible. Praise God. And he released the money right there and then. Amen. The wisdom of God. God can be made manifest through you in such a way that your life reflects God in its totality. In its totality. Wisdom, power, grace to know. Everything that you need for life and godliness has been given unto you in Christ. As the light of God's word comes to you, you see that this ability is yours. And then you act it out. Praise the Lord. I was praying for a lady that, you know, had asthma on Sunday. All right. And she looked at me. She said, I have prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and nothing has happened. I said, you have come to the end of praying. Christ is the end of the law of righteousness to whomsoever who believes. You don't try to be righteous again when you have come to Christ. Amen. I say in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to pray a simple prayer for you and command the asthma to leave. It will leave right away. And she was looking at me. She felt, really? I said, yeah. And then we prayed a simple prayer. And I told her, run. She began to run. She ran around, ran around, ran around, ran around, ran around without any symptom of asthma. Glory to God. Amen. Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's the Christ that is in you. Amen. I said amen. We are the body of Christ. Let us reveal this Christ. We are not going to become the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ now. Praise the Lord. We are the temple of God now. God literally resides in us. If anybody wants to have contact with God, the person can have contact with you because you are God's residence. You are the body of Christ. Your bodies have become the temple of God. God literally dwells in you. Hallelujah. We are the gates of heaven. You remember at Bethel, Jacob was there. And then he rested his head on a stony pillow and had a dream. And he saw a ladder reaching forth from heaven and touching the earth. Hallelujah. And he saw angels ascending and descending. Ascending and descending. So he woke up all of a sudden. Whoo! So God has been here and I didn't know it. No, he didn't bring God there. God had been there before he came there. He caught a revelation of God being there. Hallelujah. And then he took a stone, anointed it there. He placed, prepared an altar there, and he called the place Bethel, the house of God. Hallelujah. Bethel, the house of God. You see, every time you walk around, be aware that angels are ascending and descending. There's a transaction going on. When you speak words, angels, they carry the words. Amen? Ascending and descending. There's a divine transaction going on, ascending and descending. Because you are the house of God, you are the Bethel of God. Hallelujah. You are the dwelling place of God. The church is the house of the living God, not a dead God. Don't tell me Jesus healed the sick 2,000 years ago on the streets of Jerusalem, or more than 2,000 years ago, but now he can't do such a thing again. Don't tell me Jesus Christ worked wonders then, but now he can't work wonders anymore. We serve a living God, hallelujah. And this living God resides in us. We are the permanent residence of God. We are the permanent address of God. God literally lives in us. We are the abode of God. Amen? You believe that? I said, do you believe that? Now meditate on God's word and believe that deep down in your heart. Say with your mouth, I am the address of God. Say it again, say, I am the address of God. Say it again, say, I am the address of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, I was ministering to a couple, and then I told the husband, I said, why do you always say this to your wife anytime you're talking? And I mentioned that exact statement. He just went, I said, relax. I will still tell you more. And then I told him another one. The wife was there. And the man said, how did you know these things? I said, Christ is in me. Come and see the man who told me the things that I ever did. Everything is a manifestation of Christ in you. Be aware. Amen. I was praying in tongues one day, and then I fell into trance. I saw three people. Pam, 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 pam. All of a sudden, I knew what was happening with them. And I picked the phone after praying in tongues, and I called so-so person. I said, look, that whatever it is that is worrying you, I mentioned the name, is gone. He said, how did you know that? He said, I've never discussed this with anybody. I said, the Lord revealed it to me. Amen. How did Jesus know where the money was? When it was time for Passover, how did he know that there was a man prepared there? He said, go out to the gate of the city. You will see a man coming carrying a pitcher of water on his head. He said, tell him that he should show you the place that has been prepared for the master's Passover. Amen. How did he know that? Say, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Say it again. Say, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Say it again. Say, Christ in me, the hope of glory. One more time. Say, Christ in me, the hope of glory. One more time. Say, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Rise to your feet. Say, Christ in me, the hope of glory. One more time. Say, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Now, let me tell you, here in this Lagos, you will not struggle the same way people around you struggle. You believe that? Because the Lord God Almighty shows you the way. He says, you hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk down in it. You will not go astray to the right or go astray to the left, but you will walk straight on. Straight on. Straight on. God wants to display himself to the world through you. If God would show forth himself to the world, it has to be through the church, because this is the only house of God on earth. This is the only dwelling place of God on earth. You are that dwelling place. Anyone and everyone who is born again is that dwelling place of God. We are the house of God. The wisdom of God is made known through us. The love of God is made known through us. If the world will see sincere love, it's through Christians. Are you listening to me? Lift up your hands and begin to affirm who you are in Christ. I am the body of Christ. I am the house of the living God. I am the pillar.